As a word of disclaimer, what you're about to hear is completely fictional. That means it was made up for your entertainment. Don't that make you feel special? So just to be clear, any resemblance to real persons or events, living or dead, is merely coincidental, but probably also by accident.
Hey folks, welcome to the Red Mullet Podcast. This here's a show you can listen to at your leisure, be it in your car, home, or place of employment. The purpose of the show is to introduce you to some of the heroes out there who are trying to make our world a little safer. From time to time, we might even have a villain or two on here to get their twisted perspective on things. However it goes, we hope to assure you that we got a handle on things, even when it don't seem that way. Today on the Mullet Cast, that's what I'm calling it anyway, we got a special friend joining us. I'll introduce him here directly, but first, I want to monologue for just a second. In an attempt to boost ratings and make myself seem more personable, I've been advised to share stories about my own experiences as a superhero. Kind of give y'all a glimpse to the exciting life that we heroes live. So here goes. The other day I was on patrol with Cowboy. That's my sidekick, for those of you that don't know. He was covering the northeast corner of our sector, looking for any kind of wrongdoing ne'er-do-wells, when sure enough we stumble on a ramshackle moonshine operation. Nothing fancy, mind you. Looked like it had been there since the Depression. They didn't appear to be anyone about, so we got to work kicking over them stills and fixing to light the whole mess on fire. Just as I was about to strike a match, I hear the definitive sound of a shotgun being cocked. We froze in place. I glanced at Cowboy out the corner of my eye. He was staring straight ahead and soiling himself.
I was not.
Shush! Now, I tried to give him a signal, but he wouldn't look at me. I personally think communication in the field is key to effective crime fighting, but I reckon when something's done scared the bejeebus out of you, it's hard to focus on protocol. Anywho, I didn't have long to contemplate the situation before a voice from behind the shotgun called out,
"What in the name of General George S. Patton do you think you're doing?"
So I thought fast, but not fast enough. First thing that came to my mind came out of my mouth.
Food and Drug Administration, this operation is not up to code.
As you can imagine, that didn't sit very well, and the voice said,
"Bull hockey! You ain't from the FDA. What kind of government agents walk around in them ridiculous outfits?"
Now, this is a question that I get asked a lot, believe it or not, so I was ready for this one.
Standard issue field agent attire. I'm afraid we're going to have to slap you with a cease and desist order here. If you cooperate, we might just be able to waive the fine, though.
Up to this point, I was under the impression that things were going pretty well. I glanced at CB again, and he had his eyes closed. Looked like he was praying or saying something like, "Please stop talking," over and over again.
I was.
Just the same, my impression must have been wrong, because that shotgun came peeking over my shoulder and the voice said,
"Who do you think you're fooling, son? I know who you are and what you're up to. Rest assured I'm going to put an end to it right here, right now."
Now, I could ascertain from the angle of the gun barrel and the sound of the voice that we weren't dealing with no ordinary moonshiner. This here was a gem. This was someone that the authorities had been after for some time. This here was none other than Mama Jude Granger. 4 foot nothing, 60 pounds, soaking wet with 78 years of firewater concocting deviousness, just a festering behind that trigger. We was in a tight spot, no doubt. But I wasn't about to give up, even if my sidekick had dropped a deuce in his drawers.
Didn't.
So I says, "Mama Jude, you got us. Dead to rights. We trespassed on your property, and you got every right to splatter our brains all over this here butterbean garden. Before you do, I just want to know one thing." So she says,
"What's that?"
I says, "You don't escape capture for 40-some years now, hiding out in these woods. You made a name for yourself and sired a whole brood of chaos-loving outlaws. I dare say you'll go down in history as one of the most notorious moonshiners in the country." So she says, "What's your point?" And I says, "Well, I just got to know. How you going to dispose of the bodies?" Now, this here is a common issue that most criminals overlook when they're preparing to commit murder. As you might assume, it's a lot of work to get rid of a corpse, so Occasionally, I bring up this conundrum when I'm trying to buy some time. Unfortunately, though, it didn't work with Mama Jude. She just said, "How you think my butter beans grow so big?" Which is pretty disgusting, but I wasn't thinking about that at the time.
Oh, I was, and I'd almost forgotten about that part.
That's right. Old cowboy's weak constitution came through for us again, and that boy blew chunks all over Mama Jude's begonia bushes. She screamed, I grabbed the gun, it went off, and sparked a flame that set that pool of spilt moonshine ablaze. Normally, I don't condone harming little old women, but that crazy granny went hog wild and started scratching and biting like a rabid opossum. CB was crying or something.
Wasn't.
So it was up to me to restrain her and get the fire under control. We took her to the sheriff's station, and she eventually got sentenced to the women's prison upstate. I hear she joined a nice quilting circle there, so everything turned out all right. Now I'd like to introduce our guest. This feller came to us several months ago wanting some guidance and training in the art of investigative crime prevention. We were only too happy to take him under our wing. Of course, that was after a thorough application process, which includes a comprehensive background check, list of 14 references, complete physical, secret initiation, and 26-page essay. CB and I showed him the ropes and then sent him on his way. Today, he joins us to tell of his exploits. Welcome to the show, the Mississippi Mudslinger.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for being here, Mud. You mind if I call you Mud?
No, not at all. All my friends call me Mud.
Of course they do. Mud, how long you been interested in the superhero lifestyle?
Oh, as long as I can remember, I suppose. I was just sitting in my mama's kitchen the other day thinking about how lucky I am to be living out my childhood dreams.
And what would you say is your speciality? What talents do you bring to the table of justice?
Well, I figure out my enemy's weakness, and then I exploit it so I can completely obliterate them.
Wow! Strong use of language. Sounds like a powerful technique.
It sure is. With a bit of research, some good old-fashioned elbow grease, and a little imagination, I can bring evildoers to their very knees.
Impressive. Can you give the listening audience an example or two?
Sure. There was this one time I posted a cat video that I liked on my social networking page. Nothing uproarious, just a cute cat doing cute cat things. Well, lo and behold, some low-life internet troll with nothing better to do came along and let loose a vile diatribe about how stupid cats were and how they are inferior to dogs, and how I was contributing to the dumbing down of society.
That seems unnecessarily mean.
I'll say it was. I immediately unfriended him and deleted his comment. But that wasn't enough.
It wasn't.
Not at all. The fires of injustice were burning in my soul. I could not and would not let this stand. I spent the next 6 weeks unleashing my retaliation. I repeatedly reported him to the site administrators. I created several fake profile pages. Then I used them to whittle away at his network of friends and family members, one by one, befriending them and liking everything that they posted. I crafted funny, encouraging comments with helpful links for their relationship problems and their weekend dining dilemmas. I even posed as an attractive female and sent him flirtatious messages with the intention
Okay, I think we get the picture. Any stories of crimes foiled in a more vigilante type way?
Oh, yeah. Once this guy kept parking in my spot at work. We didn't have assigned spots, but everyone knew it was mine.
Huh.
I tried being civil. At first, I left notices on his windshield. Then I sent him an email. I even attempted confronting him directly, but he just laughed at me. Laughed at my face. I finally had to lodge the formal complaint with HR, but they said there was nothing they could do. I ask you, what's the point of even having a human resources department if they won't intercede on behalf of the humans?
I'm almost afraid to ask, but how did it turn out?
Oh, fine. He got fired. That's all will happen when the boss finds porn all up in your browser history and weed in your locker.
Right. Well, what about people who are actually breaking the law?
Oh, I've got a doozy for you. I know how you feel about litter bugs.
Yeah?
Well, I was on my way to work one day. Traffic was bumper to bumper, and I was jamming to my Yawny Live CD and enjoying a hot mug of caramel chai latte. All of a sudden, this yuppie and a Pontiac Grand Prix swerved over and almost clipped my fender. But I kept my cool. He was texting, smoking, and riding super close to the car in front of him. Not sure where he thought he was going, but it was obviously nowhere fast. And he wasn't happy. He rolls down his window, flicks the cigarette butt out, and lights up again. I felt that unfamiliar twitch in my temple. I called it my injustice alarm, but I kept it together. 6 minutes later, he does it again. Another 6 minutes goes by, and he does it again. I don't know if he hates the environment or if he just doesn't know that cigarettes don't biodegrade, but I decided he needed to be informed.
Please don't tell me you got out of your car.
So I get out of my car, pick up his smoldering butts, tap on his window, and give him the evil eye. He stares at me like I'm some kind of freak. Then he cracks his window and says, "Can I help you?" So I say, "Yeah, you can help me by not being such a deuce canoe." Then he flips me off and rolls up his window. I walk back towards my car, but stop to drop the cig, then his gas tank. They was cool by now, but I still wish his car would have blowed up to high heaven. I don't think he saw me, but I followed him to his place of work and left some roofing nails under his tires when he went inside.
I'm not so sure we should be recording this.
You mean this ain't anonymous?
I guess it is, if your secret identity is safe.
Oh, yeah. Nothing to worry about there. I got a mask and everything.
Well, it does look to be a well-put-together uniform. Are those real leather tassels you got under your arms?
You betcha. Genuine cowhide.
I think I'll go wait in the other room.
What's wrong with him?
He's got a thing about cows. Mud, we're gonna go to a commercial break now. When we come back, maybe we can talk about your arch nemesis.
The Red Mullet Cast is brought to you today by Simple Delights. Need a fantastic dessert for your next party or event? Want something that looks spectacular and tastes even better? Let Simple Delights tantalize your taste buds with their specialty treats. Find them on Facebook at Simple Delights by Amanda.
We're back with the Mississippi Mudslinger. Perhaps learning a little more than we wanted to know, but whatever. Mud, why don't you tell us about your arch nemesis?
Ooh, let me tell you what. C is a piece of work.
Oh, a female nemesis.
Yes, sir. Feminine as the day is long and twice as manipulative.
Please go on.
I suppose we was destined to be adversaries from the day I was born. My earliest memories are feelings of malcontent whenever she was near.
A long-standing rivalry. Interesting.
She was always asserting herself over me, bossing me around, a real tyrant.
Oh, the worst.
To this day, nothing can chill me to the bone like the sound of her voice. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
Uh-huh, I'm familiar.
You want to know the worst part? The feelings of self-doubt. Thinking that I was never good enough, like I couldn't do nothing right.
That is horrible.
Right? Like, what do you want from me?
Yep.
I'm struggling just to get by here. How can I be expected to read your mind and make my own decisions?
Exactly.
I mean, I know you breastfed me and everything, but I am my own man.
Just
cook you cook all my meals, wash my clothes, make my bed, give me sponge bath every Wednesday does not mean you can control my life.
Hold up.
Cut the umbilical already. A man's got to be free to lead his own life.
Are you saying that your arch nemesis is your mama?
I say she is. Why? Is that unusual?
Oh, boy. Well, Mud, what do you intend to do about this situation? What's your long-term plan for defeating your worst enemy?
Well, first I gotta move out of her basement. Then, as soon as I can afford to get my own car, I'm gonna travel far away, visit some exotic locations like New Orleans or maybe Tupelo. Then maybe I'll meet someone special and we'll elope. That'll teach the old.
Okay. Just promise me you won't make any rash decisions.
Now you're starting to sound like her. I ain't got room for more than one mama in my life.
Ease up. Did you ever think that maybe she is just a little overly protective? Mothers are generally consumed with the well-being of their offspring.
Whose side are you on, anyway? I thought this was a safe place.
Don't get your tidy-whities in a wad. I'm just trying to look at both sides.
Both sides? Is this Maury Povich now?
All I'm saying is maybe you should pick a nemesis with more malicious intentions.
She gives me a curfew. How much more malicious can you get? How am I supposed to patrol the darkest hours when I have to be inside at 9 p.m.?
Well, admittedly, that does make things a little complicated. Can't you sit down and have a grown-up conversation with her?
Like when I'm massaging her bunions? Or how about when she's ironing my socks?
Listen, obviously you two have some deep-rooted issues that you need to work out. Are you an only child?
Yeah, I reckon she ate my paw when she got pregnant with me, being the she-spider that she is.
Paul, yeah. Your mama is the she-spider?
Yeah, didn't I say that already?
Never mind. I take back everything I said.
Really? Why? You know her?
Know her? That vile villainess is the reason I wake up screaming half the time. You have my deepest sympathies, my friend. That woman is a literal nightmare.
Thank you. Finally, someone who understands.
Yeah, man. You see this scar right here?
Ooh, mama did that to you?
Winter of 08. We had tracked her to an abandoned sawmill after deducing that she was behind a rash of heinous food poisonings at every vegan cafe from here to Senatobia.
She does hate vegans. Go on.
She'd hold up at this lumber yard where she was mixing up her poisonous concoctions. The whole place was booby-trapped. We had almost closed in on her when Cowboy hit a tripwire and set off an alarm, accompanied by a shower of poison-tipped arrows. We dove out of the way, but one caught me there. And another punctured CB's power udder.
That was before I had the double-walled insulation on it. You see, the Kevlar inner lining.
We was pinned down. Another bad move, and she'd have us skewered on one of her poisonous spikes, for sure.
No doubt.
She emerged from her hiding spot, and wouldn't you know it, she launched into an elaborate monologue.
That's mama for you.
As she droned on about our inevitable fate, I felt the poison enter my bloodstream. My vital organs slowly starting to shut down. Cowboy was mired in his own goop.
It's a dairy-based epoxy resin.
Goop. That's when I knew I had to do some quick thinking. I reached for my duct tape, but it weren't there. I go for my pocket knife, but no dice. I feel for a moon pie, and what do you know, I pull out a fiber bar. Not sure how it got there.
Him. Why are you looking at me?
But it was a good thing, because it gave me an idea. So I shout, "Hey, Spidey lady, you got me good. I'm fading fast. Can I trouble you for a last meal? All I got is this gluten-free flaxseed wafer." Apparently, that struck a chord, because she was only too happy to oblige.
Of course.
She waddled over and snatched that thing out my hand. Then she started force-feeding me some whoopie pies and oatmeal raisin sandwich cookies. It was mighty fine, but it gave Cowboy the chance he needed to sneak over and tag her in the back with his cattle prod. Game over.
There with you guys. I heard that story before. She hates your guts.
Well, I'd say the feeling was mutual if it weren't for those delightful baked goods she was shoving down my gullet.
Mama always did know her way around the kitchen.
How's she doing these days? I heard she got out on parole a while back.
Oh, scheming and plotting, you know, typical villain stuff. She's going after all hipsters now, not just the vegans.
I guess we'll have to be on the lookout in case she comes through this way again. I'd like to thank my guest once again. It's been really interesting, Mud. We expect more harrowing things from you in the future.
Thanks for having me on the show. Hey, maybe we can thwart some bad guys together sometime.
Yeah, sure. We'll put something on the calendar. Right, CB?
What calendar?
That's all the time we got for today. Join us next time when we interview some more unsung heroes and unrepentant villains on the new Red Mullet Podcast.
This has been a Monumental Flounder production, written and produced by Andrew Chandler. Red Mullet and Cowboy created by Jay Choop. For more Red Mullet content, including a webcomic and video clips, go to andrewchandler.net.